Good morning, Shepherd United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
It's great to see you as we come and share and worship today. We're thankful we can be here and gather together and pray a bit and sing a bit and have some fellowship. It's great to be together and to worship today. There are announcements in the bulletin. I hope you will pay some attention to those. What others might we highlight or add? Is there any information there?
Pastor Steve, we just want to highlight the Kids for Conference. There's paper on the foyer out there about the hygiene kits. And we're asking if everyone would please, if they want to, consider putting one together. We would like them here no later than May 31st. So just follow the instructions is what I'll tell you, because if you
So they're on a page there on the table?
On the table in the back. If you don't follow the instructions, they won't use them, and we certainly don't want to send something that they can't use. So I just wanted to highlight that.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else?
And of course.
You can stand.
Notice that beautiful box back here. For Open the Heart Sunday. So every first Sunday of every month, we'll have Open Heart. Whatever you feel led to put in, we'll appreciate it.
Ann's mom came home this week. I think she's either out of touch back or moved a little bit. We're trying to get somebody to come in and be with for a little while. A little good out there.
Excellent. All right, thank you.
One more thing, we had to have somebody to pay for. Down in the backyard in the woods, and after they cut the tree down, they left and all that. And I was inside helping mom a little while, and I come out, there was smoke at the corner of the field, blowing like this. So what they did, after they cut the tree down, they cut the stump in half again. So that chainsaw started that fire, and just so happened I didn't leave with them, and I happened to notice it, and I said, Mom, what is that? Is that smoke? And then my stump is on fire. I had a flame. Doesn't have any wisdom. We wouldn't have King Green left.
Goodness. Well, I guess stump removal was included. You didn't know it. My goodness. That's tough. All right. All right. How's the baby?
Baby weighs 4 pounds, 10.1 ounces.
Yeah. Growing, excellent. All right. Anyone else? All right, then, let's begin with the prelude and the lighting of the candles. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll share together in a gathering prayer and then our call to worship. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for the blessing of this day and the blessing of this place. We come to offer you thanks and praise as your people. We come humble before you for the great and mighty acts that you have made on our behalf. Bless and keep us. But hear us as we come with the blessing of the presence of your Holy Spirit to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart.
Who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances.
I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
Let's sing together wonderful words of life. I invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnal, and we will share in this part of the liturgy for the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have failed to be an obedient church.
We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. And we have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us when we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As we gather today, we, I'm sure, have joys and concerns on our hearts we might like to share. Are there those you'd like to share out loud today? Bring to us.
It's a joy to have Dennis back with us today.
I introduced myself just to be sure. Appreciate you, Dennis.
Well, it's certainly good to be back. There's a family, two families, out in Montana. Cameron and his wife, Lindsay, and then another gentleman by the name of John. They can certainly use their prayers.
All right. Anyone else?
I have a friend of mine. Her name's Teresa. She's got a whole lot going on. So just lift her and her daughters and husband up. She takes care of him and she works. So.
Okay. Anyone else?
I just wanted to follow up. I didn't mention it earlier. It was like to follow up with the joy we had last Sunday. Just to be in fellowship, duplication of the road, whatever we call it. But we had time together, and I had the best cornhole partner in Lynchburg. She carried me through the whole tournament.
Well, she did what she had to do.
She's an ace.
Good. I love it.
Praise my family will gather this evening to celebrate my mom's 80th birthday, which is tomorrow. So I lift that up and pray. Prayer request. As we pray for rain. In a terrible spot right now.
And pray for SOLs and all of that.
All right. Anyone else?
I'd like to lift up my daughter, Amy, and her son, Jonathan. As you all know, Jonathan graduated last year from Virginia Tech. Now, Jonathan got a degree, and I'm not exactly sure, except that it's something to do with animation and cartoons and all that kind of stuff. So, needless to say, I don't think he's going to find a pretty decent job in Blacksburg for that. I could be wrong, but I know that he will be coming home soon. So just lift him up, that he'll find his path.
Good. Okay. I have a nephew that took a couple of extra years to finally get a job doing that kind of thing. My niece at Longwood's going to finish and is doing that kind of thing as well. And notice I said that kind of thing, because I got it. Okay. Anyone else? You know, sometimes I come up with a hymn that kind of comes to mind, and I was coming, driving down the road today, and "For the Beauty of the Earth" came to mind. And it's just a beautiful time, and, you know, it makes me smile a little bit, because it won't be long before we'll be complaining it's too hot or something. But it certainly is a blessing, beauty of the earth for us and for this great world we've been given. So may we care for it in good ways. Continue to pray for peace and pray that we can come together in some of the division of the world. And hope we can be good to one another, be good to all concerned. And I continue to call for prayers for peace. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Thank you, O God, that we can come together and we can call on you and pray that what you want will be manifest in us, will be made real, made known in our world. We come with a sense of concern for peace in our world, for the blessing of being your people to come together for the common good. May our leaders here in this county, in our commonwealth, in our nation, and in the nations of the world, come together and find a way of peace and mercy and justice. We come also today with many concerns in our hearts. We've named many today for people who have been hospitalized and have come out and gotten better, for those who are around that we know to be sick and ill and injured, and all those who care for them. We lift all of them to you. May you meet their need. May you touch them with your healing and bless and keep them. We pray for grief in this world, for those who are suffering great loss of friends, family, those who need to face a world without those whom they relied on or those whom they loved or loved them. But help us in our grief to know that you indeed have a place for us. You indeed have a claim made upon us. And for all of this, we give thanks. We pray for what is before many in these days to come, for our work and for the work that we have been given, for the call to serve that you've been given, for those who have schools and have SOLs, for all of those in our communities who teach us. We give thanks for them, but bless and keep those as they come to the end of a school year. May they do so safely and with the great blessing of you. We come today remembering the call to be good to the weakest among us, the marginalized, those on the edges, those who are hungry and thirsty, imprisoned, sojourners, aliens, the widow, the orphan. Help us to hear these calls and to always pray for them, but always care wherever we can to give to those in need. But help us today to open our hearts and minds as we come to this worship. We're thankful for the beauty of the earth and for what you've given us and made us stewards over, but we're thankful we can come to the beauty of a place like this, of a Shepherd's United Methodist Church and a sanctuary that's a legacy. It's an opportunity for us to come and pray and praise you, but to be energized to go and serve you and be the church in the world. We thank you for this and for the United Methodist Church and for its ministry all around the world. And we pray in these days for the opportunity and the sense of transition that is to come. We pray for Keith and his family. We pray for those pastors who are moving and shifting and changing as we speak and preparing to move to new places. But bless and keep us all. Help us to know that you are present wherever we go. You are already there. May we accept the grace with which you have blessed us each day. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able, and we'll sing together "The Church's One Foundation."
Jesus Christ, through all, she is.
question.
Amazing grace.
Thank you, choir. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. You will recognize some of these words, I'm sure. So hear these words of the Gospel. All right. For some reason, I'm trying to read it off my phone, and it's not cooperating. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, do know him and have ever seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. May God add blessing to this reading from the Word. Thanks be to God. I expect you have heard many of the verses of this 14th chapter of the Gospel of John many times. We typically share this in the context of a funeral or memorial service, because there is a sense of promise, a sense of opportunity that is rich in this scripture. I had a colleague who was an Episcopal priest in Northern Virginia. We worked together on some projects, and one of the things that he bugged me about, so I need to give kind of attention to that, he has gone on to his glory, is that he said, Steve, it was one of the things when we were talking about some theological differences and all this, and we were talking somehow about this scripture, and he said, the thing that bothers me most, and I want to be sure at my funeral, that people don't talk about, in my house are many mansions. And he said, I don't know why we have to say mansions. There is a version called the King James Version, and it talks about mansions, that there are many mansions. There are these fantastical kinds of places. He just couldn't stand it at all. He said, I think I would come back, embodiment, come back and get after anybody who at my funeral would read and say anything about the many mansions. But here we do have the scripture that there are many booths, many places in God's place. It is a promise for us that is an assurance. It means that there is a place that is just yours. And if you don't take it, then no one's there. interesting kind of thought about this, and I certainly haven't thought about mansions either. It seems pretty simple that wherever we are, I think the promise is this way, that wherever we are in the presence of Almighty God is not going to need a mansion. It's just going to need the Savior himself. It's just going to need God. One of the things about Clyde Hunley, my father, is that all you needed to do was to say about something in Richmond. All you needed to do is to say, well, you know, I really need to, let's think of something. I really need to get my my radiator fixed. And Clyde would say, well, the best way to get your radiator fixed is go to, well, I don't know, ABC shop somewhere. And he was just waiting. You know, guess what my daddy was waiting for, anybody? Where is it? He was just waiting for somebody to say, where is it? Because Clyde, once you said, where is it? Clyde would say, well, you go this way and you go that way and you turn there and you turn there and you give pretty decent directions. And then in a second, you know what he's going to say. But you could go over here and you could go that way. You could go down, you know, you don't have to go to Laburnum. You could go Mechanicsville Turnpike and then you can go that way, you know. But, and then in a few minutes, he's not done. You know, Clyde was not done. My brother and I used to giggle so much. And we used to say in our own way, my God, I hope nobody asked Daddy for directions today. We got places to be. He really liked to talk about how there were different directions. He was a blessed man. And he was honestly really trying to help people. And but he loved Richmond and he loved the place. And he did kind of know his way around. I couldn't help but think about that because of the way the scripture comes to us. After all, you know, we have all kinds of sayings about things. There's more than one way to... Exactly. We've got all kinds of ways to do things. There's more ways to get there than just the way we know. There's more ways to do things. After all, we've got our own way to do things. I mean, most of us who have lived with somebody know that they have ways of doing things that just don't quite make sense to us. But generally they get done. And sometimes we have to grit our teeth, close our eyes, look the other way, and wait for the conclusion. Because typically the conclusion's okay. But how they get there, oh my. We have all kinds of notions about the way we do this. But the scripture comes to us today in an interesting way. Because most of our lives, most of my life, I've heard preachers and people share and witnessing and sharing. When we used to do this a lot, there's only one way, right? I bet you've heard that. There's only one way. And I certainly was compelled and convinced, and yes, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Yes, I confessed. I've done the best I can in my years, and I have done it in that kind of way with that kind of challenge. But now that I have gotten into, I'm working on my eighth decade, I guess. Those of us in there that might hit our 70s, I feel like I'm in my eighth decade. Boy, I feel it today, I'm telling you. But as I look at it, I'm thinking that maybe I kind of had some of that wrong. And the scripture that just stuck out to me today was that line of the scripture is that when Jesus is talking to Philip, I think Jesus is talking to me, by the way, at least this time. He's talking to Philip, and Philip is saying, what do you mean you don't know where I'm going? You don't know the way? You don't know any of this? And he's saying, I've been with you all this time. Where have you been? Have you been paying attention, Philip? I think it was a smack you upside the head kind of time. Come on, Philip. But he says, but if you don't believe it because I have shared it over and over, if you don't believe it because you've heard it from me, could you believe it? Could you believe and go this way because of the works that I have performed? So he's saying, if it's not compelling and it's not good enough that I said it to you, if it's not good enough that I have said it over and over to you, if you're not compelled because I told you, then my goodness, have you been paying attention? He's calling attention to that sort of sense of where he took somebody and that person who couldn't walk, he told them to get up and walk. You remember that? You know, the person that you know couldn't see, couldn't hear. You know, let's just make some mud. Let's get him going. The miracles that he had done, that he walked across the water. The miracles he did by waiting over and over to be sure that those who needed him would come to him. The many times he showed great wisdom, that when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and those in the temple life, those who were in power, the many times that they came to him and they challenged him, then they wanted to entrap him. What did he do? He knew how to handle them. He knew how to deal with them over and over. After all, he took a bunch of mostly fishermen. He took a bunch of fishermen and he transitioned them into understanding the power of the love of God. He managed to do that by the way he lived with them, and he called them to him and they were transformed. But here's Philip. He thought he had come along. He thought Philip had been paying attention, but after all, sometimes some people just are not paying attention. I believe that in my own life, there are times when I've heard many people talk about things and about how, oh my gosh, I could have been killed because I was coming through this intersection and right after it something happened. Or somehow I could have died except a doctor found something in me. Or somehow something could have happened that was just awful to me, but it didn't happen to me. But are they paying attention? Because maybe, just maybe, they came out of it because of the blessing of Almighty God. Because there are times when we need to look at each other, and people have looked at me and said it before, I guess God's not finished with using you for something yet. Maybe it's really not the time because you are needed elsewhere. So I don't think it's about mansions. I agree with my Episcopal brother. I don't think it's about mansions, but I do think it's about a place. I think it's about a place that God, through Jesus Christ, is telling us there is a place for us. There's a place for us in heaven. There's a place that is guaranteed and assured for us in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But how we get there can be by recognizing the works of Jesus Christ, if that's what it needs to be. But it doesn't have to be that way. It also could be because he said so. Because Jesus said so. Jesus, this miraculous one, said so. He said it in the words. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I've got you. I've got you where always I've got you. He said it over and over. If you can't do it because he said it, then do it because of what he did. It is great power for us to know that really Jesus is saying, you can believe in me any way you want. You can believe because I did a miracle. You can believe because I had some great wisdom. You can believe because I shared it with you and told you. You can believe because I touched you. You can believe because of the great witness of others who have seen me do it. You can believe however you want. But not just for God's sake, and not just for Christ's sake, but for your sake. Believe. In any way you want, however Clyde tells you to get there, believe. Believe in the love of God in Jesus Christ, that he's gone to prepare a place for you. And indeed, we are blessed, and that place is ready for us. I'm getting closer and closer to my place, of course. We all are, but we don't realize it a lot till we are maybe in our eighth decade or something. But I'm getting closer and closer, and I'm sure it's comfy. But I know it's mine because he said so. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Help us always know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us always know that we get there because you call us there. Always make sure we know that you have that place, and that however we get there, you've got us where you want us. So bless and keep us as your children. Amen. Let's continue worship with the giving of tithes and gifts and offerings. Seated and turn to page 13, and we'll share in the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Invite you to come and as you feel led and kneel or receive standing or return to your seat, however you wish, but the table is open. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll sing together our hymn. Shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. The spread the sky, but the winds gladly days are over, not a shouting outside. When we all get together, what a day of rejoicing that will be. You could ask each other. Well, there are those of us who are certainly willing to bear witness to how God has loved us in spite of us, how somehow the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has ministered to us and been with us. So may you go in peace, knowing of the love of God in Christ, always and everywhere in His name.